good line. You know, it's goofy to ask that, but having a wife who's a school teacher for a number of years, like sometimes some schools, it's like 8:52. Like for us growing up, wasn't it always 9 and 3:30? You knew 9 o'clock was the bell, 3:30 was the bell, but there's adapted times and reduced lunch hours. And so I don't profess to completely understand what time school starts. Nonetheless, kids are back in school. How was it this morning? Was it a hectic grind to get them back? Did you have to go down and try to wake them about 5 times? Or were they, I'm seeing a lot of people posted some pictures online, you know, that typical picture parents like to post, standing in the backyard, new backpack over your shoulders, hair greased up. Back to when I had hair. Yes. Anyway, hope you have a great first day back to school. And hey, by the way, Rider fans still rejoicing in the fact that the Riders pulled off a big win on Sunday. The Labor Day Classic, 39-21. Now, that's not the score. That's the record. 39-21 in the last 60, or there's been 60 Labor Day Classic games. Riders have won 39 of them. So the final score, 34-30. It was a bit of a scary end to the game. Let's not forget the Riders were up 31-17 late in the fourth quarter, and then Winnipeg started their comeback, and it got a little bit scary there. But right near the end, thank goodness, right near the end, this happened.
Dramatic two-point try.
I wasn't at Mosaic Stadium, but you could feel the electricity when that happened. Tavon Campbell's interception runs it back for two, and that ends up being the final score, 34-30. So, yeah, always keeping it interesting, but a win for the Riders. And, by the way, a win for Kelvin from Warman. Green and white prognostication winner. Kelvin's score, 36-27, total of 63. Riders won with a total of 64, if you add up 34 and 30. So congrats, Calvin from Warren. Warman, you are this week's Green and White Prognostications winner, which means your name is entered into the draw for the end of the season grand prize cash payout. Congratulations, Calvin. Well, the other thing, there was lots going on this weekend. I spent the vast majority of my weekend in a wheat field. In a grain truck, hauling grain, helping my brother. He's got harvest going full swing on the farm, as many, many do. Although I am hearing a number of people saying, you know what? The wheat, if you look at the heads of the wheat, it looks ready, but the straw is still a little bit green. So they're waiting for it to mature a little bit more before they get out to the field. But we're seeing lots of canola has been swathed in the province. People are out there doing peas, doing wheat. We spent a full weekend working on wheat, which was good. And Tim, my brother, who has been farming, well, for years with my dad, since we lost my dad, Tim's basically doing it on his own with some glorified truck driving help from his big brother. But Tim said he can't remember when he was harvesting in August. So those that got an early start that you aren't used to getting an early start, hopefully this means a good, smooth harvest for you and you can get things done in a timely fashion. Always good to get out there. I'll be back out on the weekend again to give them a hand. The other thing we did, took a quick break from work to head to the Sastel Center for the Lainey Wilson concert that was on Saturday night, which was an incredible show. I have to say, I went into that show probably being able to tell you 3 Lainey Wilson songs. She played 22 in her set. It was Sastel Center was absolutely packed. And I will say was packed with a lot of cowboy hats and cowboy boots, especially girls. There were a lot of mums and grandmas who brought their daughters, their granddaughters there. There are a lot of very young Lainey Wilson fans, and she pays homage to that in her set. Like she, you can tell she sees her role as a mentorship to some of these young girls who are very influenced by Lainey Wilson, everything from her fashion to her music. And she really, I think, does a good job of pushing it. I saw on Facebook over the weekend after the concert, there was some consternation about the wait times going into the bathrooms. Apparently they were quite lined up. I purposefully mind my liquid consumption at concerts so that I don't have to leave my seat. But I do know that a lot of people were complaining that they missed a chunk of the show because they were lined up and waiting at the bathroom. All in all, I thought the performance was good. I always enjoy watching shows at SaskTel Center. It's a great venue for a concert. Now, let's talk about the parking lot. I you know, people have complained about parking, and really, I think it's maybe less of a complaint about parking, more a complaint about the ability to get in and out of the parking lot. After the concert, it was an absolute nightmare. 55 minutes sitting in our car, and we went with our friends Greg and Jen, so there's four of us sitting in the car. And we weren't, for the first half an hour, I don't think we moved 4 feet. To me, this is the fault of whoever is hired to handle the egress from the stadium. And this is a big issue. I think about when New Mosaic Stadium was being built, our police service was quite involved in the traffic plan for that. And many people will say it's not perfect. Taylor Field, because it's in the middle of the city of Regina or in a predominantly residential area, there's lots of challenges with parking. But efforts are made, whether it's bringing in graders, things to block off certain streets to allow the free flow of traffic to really get people the best opportunity to get out of that area in a reasonable amount of time, shutting down traffic lights, having police officers at those intersections to allow the traffic flow and really try and release the flow of vehicles coming from the center. I don't know who is hired to do the parking services, but they, whoever they contract for that, has completely failed. It was a complete disaster on Saturday night. And you know what happens is people start raging. People are frustrated. People can't get out of there. And I'll be the first to admit, yes, and I was driving my wife's vehicle, which she pointed out was not the time to be taking chances and be angry behind the wheel. Nonetheless, I was super frustrated getting out of that place. So it is my hope that I've talked to many people who have said, you know what, this isn't new. This has happened with other concerts as well. But I love watching concerts at SaskTel Center. I love watching hockey games there. I think it's a great facility. But the parking services part of it needs to be fixed. And it's a disaster the way it is. It didn't work great on Saturday night, and it continues to be a problem. Okay, that's my rant. That's my rant after the long weekend. It's a start of a new week, and it's a short work week for many. Back to school for lots as well, so lots to talk about. Have you been following the Alberta... You know, I hesitate to call it a book ban by the Alberta government because it's not. In fact, Premier Danielle Smith, in an interview this weekend, corrected a reporter.
You pretty much answered my question. I had a similar question to the book ban. I just wanted to ask about, you know, some of those other classic texts.
And you know, it's not a book ban.
Pardon me, sorry?
It's not a book ban.
I just wanted to ask about this list here.
he didn't really acknowledge what she said, but Danielle Smith saying, look, it's not a book ban. What the Alberta government has done is they have identified a few books that are available to elementary school students that they don't feel should be available to elementary school students. The subject material is graphic, is explicit, is sexual in nature, and shouldn't be available to elementary school students. So they put together general direction, if you will, to school divisions in Alberta around books that are appropriate and should be in libraries and those that are not. What has happened is some school divisions, predominantly the Edmonton Public School Board, has basically taken a bit of a vicious swing back at the government. What they've done is they have cast a very wide net, and this net captures books like 1984, The Great Gatsby, The Handmaid's Tale, Brave New World, Forever by Judy Blume. A lot of books that many people will say, well, I read that book growing up. There was no problem with that book. What the Edmonton Public School Board is doing is they're hiding behind this notion that, oh, we have to do it. The province is telling us to do it. Danielle Smith yesterday, or maybe it was on the weekend. It was just over the last couple of days, held a news conference where she pushed back against this. And I think did a great job, a great explanation. Now, I'm going to play for you. It's about a 2-minute clip of Premier Danielle Smith. You don't find this clip very easily. Most media captured 8-10 seconds of this clip and played it. But if you listen to the clip in its entirety, and granted you don't have the visuals, and she refers to some visuals, but this really, I think, gives you an idea of where they are coming from. This is Premier Danielle Smith talking about the restrictions that they wanted to see put on school libraries, particularly elementary school libraries in Alberta.
Look, I'm going to have to show the screen here, because people aren't kind of getting what it is we're trying to do here. We are trying to take graphic pornographic images out of elementary schools so that kids are not exposed to age-inappropriate material. So I'm going to leave it on for 15 seconds. I'm warning you that the content may be disturbing and it's not appropriate for young users. Viewer discretion is advised. I know that the cameras probably can't print it on the evening news tonight without probably facing some kind of Broadcast Standards Council complaint. And I know that I would get delisted from Facebook for showing these kind of images on Facebook because they're pornographic. That is what we are trying to address. There's another one here. Please take a look at it I'd invite all of the school trustees to take a look at it too. We have tried to be as polite about this so that people understand what it is. Here's another one so you can have another look at the kind of material that we think should not be exposed to young children aged 7 years old. And I think we've got one more that we would like to show you as well. Here is another example. So I don't know how much more clear we could be that what we are aiming to, this all began because these were the images that parents were showing us that were accessible to children in elementary school libraries. And so we asked school boards to use their discretion to identify books that might not be age appropriate for elementary school children. And then and Edmonton Public is clearly doing a little vicious compliance over what the direction is. And so if they need us to hold their hand through the process to identify what kind of materials are appropriate for senior high school students, what kind of materials are appropriate for junior high school students, and what kind of materials are appropriate for elementary school students, we will more than happily work with them to work through their list one by one so we can be super clear about what it is we're trying to do. We are trying to take sexually explicit content out of elementary schools that is inappropriate for me to show on the television news at night, and so it is inappropriate for seven-year-olds to see. That's what our objective is.
That was Premier Danielle Smith this weekend. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, phone lines are open, text lines are open. I know I'm getting lots of texts here. Everything from Lainey Wilson parking to Harvest to this, well, people are calling it a book ban. You just heard Premier Danielle Smith say it's not a book ban. It's about age-appropriate content in school libraries. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts weighing in on this discussion as well. It seems like a no-brainer to me, especially if you've seen the images that are in some of the books that they are saying should not be in elementary school libraries. But we'll hear your thoughts when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I mentioned, I'm not even really sure what time school starts. When we went to school, now that's we in quotes, the old guys, it was 9 o'clock. I'm looking at the text line. Sheldon says, yep, school started at 9, school's over at 3:30, lunchtime 12 to 1, and the Flintstones 12 to 12:30. That's so true. Oh, boy. Memories, hey? School time memories. But first day of school for many today, and I hope everything got off with a hitch. Got those pictures first thing in the morning. Don't forget, coming up at 10 o'clock, I've got Sergeant Todd Jerome popping into the studio just for a quick chat about school zone safety reminders. We've been used to driving through the summer with kids not in school. However, in the bigger cities in the province, those school zones have remained in effect literally through the summer. So they're year-round 7-7-7. So it's 7 days a week, 7 in the morning till 7 at night. That's in the city of Regina. Saskatoon has their parameters set out in terms of what those school zone hours are. But the reality is that, yeah, they extend right through summer. So we're going to talk a little bit about school zone safety coming up in a second. So I was talking about what is going on in Alberta. Premier Danielle Smith pushing back against the Edmonton Public School Board, who have basically leaked out a list of about 200 books they're saying they have to remove. They have no option. They have to take these books off the shelf to comply with the provincial directive. You just heard the clip that I played from Danielle Smith saying, no, that's not the case. She called it vicious compliance with what the province is asking. What do you see the role being of the province and of the school boards? The province setting basically some general guidelines on what is acceptable and what is not, and then it should be up for the school divisions. And obviously a big part of this is elementary versus high school students. So it's the advanced age or their ability to understand whether something is age appropriate or not. If you saw the clip, I played the audio from the clip. If you saw the clip, you would see graphics of, and they are, to some people, they would be very disturbing graphics because they are sexually explicit. They are, and it's not, some people are suggesting this is an attack at LGBTQ2S+. There's very sexually explicit heterosexual relationships demonstrated there that goes well beyond. I know I saw a text from Dylan saying, oh my gosh, is it holding hands or something? I mean, trust me, it's very explicit oral sex. It's much more than that. And these are cartoon-like graphics that are in, I think it's 4 books that the Alberta government was basically saying to the school divisions in Alberta, these should not be in the libraries of elementary schools. 1-877-332-8255. Your thoughts, your texts, your calls when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Text line is busy. Lots of people weighing in on a variety of things, including I mentioned we spent the weekend out in the wheat field. Harvest is underway at our place, our farm around the Abernethy area. I did see a text here from, now I can't find it, but it was someone, I believe it was Kindersley. Yeah, Trev, thanks for the text. Harvest a couple of weeks late, actually, getting going in the Kindersley area. So it is interesting. We are seeing hit and miss some parts of the province, that southwest, which seems to be every year ahead of the rest of the province. And a lot of it sadly has to do with the fact that they have been starved for moisture. And so harvest comes early, but often harvest comes with lots of frustrations as well in that part of the province. But various stages of harvest throughout the province, which is why I always worry about, you know, the province puts out those so much percentage, you know, 23% of the 2025 harvest is done. I always fear that there's lots of farmers hearing that thinking, what? How is that even possible? I mean, it's very dependent on, for example, rain sweeping through part of the province today. So some people will be set back a couple of days. Others haven't even got started. But nonetheless, thanks for the text on that. Also, a number of people texting in about the Lainey Wilson concert on Saturday night. So I talked about this, my frustration with the park the parking. And ultimately, it actually, if I'm being honest, it wasn't even frustration with the parking. It was frustration with the amount of time it took us to get out of the parking lot. I got a text here saying, good morning, Evan. We also were at the Lainey Wilson concert. As for the bathrooms, we actually found one near our section. We were sitting in section 20 on the concourse level where there was no one in line to use it, located behind a small bar area. And for parking, we were in and out in less than 10 minutes. We ended up parking near the tour buses, literally got in our vehicle and went out directly bypassing having to go by Costco. So good on you. That's Christine from Moose Jaw that shared that message. Maybe it was I parked in a terrible spot. Maybe that's it. Although I've heard enough people commiserating with me about the amount of time it took to get out of there and enough people saying I wasn't at Lainey Wilson, but I went to the Eagles X number of years ago and the problem existed there. Russ in Saskatoon says we can't blame the people working the parking at Sastel Center. Blame who designed the layout. Maybe because we used to have lots of challenges with the old Taylor Field with traffic, but really it came down to designing a plan, a traffic plan that uses the streets you have. And I remember sitting in on meetings. I never was one of the ones making the decisions, but I was there listening to them. This is a number of years ago about what's the best way to egress out of the Taylor Field. And they would literally shut down some streets, shut down some intersections, shut down traffic lights, take control of them using police officers at intersections so that you can move the flow of traffic. So maybe the regular traffic that uses a certain road no longer can use that road. They're detoured for the duration of time from the end of the concert to whatever. I still say it may be a crappy setup and may be not designed properly, but I still say with the proper people making the decisions, shutting down roads, doing those types of things, there's no way it should take you 55 minutes to get out of a parking lot. Okay. Anyway, it's not the end of the world, really. It's more of a frustration than anything. But I do appreciate the people that are weighing in. Let's go back to this discussion about Alberta school libraries. And I'm going to hesitate to call it a book ban because the province, Alberta's province, has said many times, this is not a book ban. Canadian author Margaret Atwood is basically taking a swipe now at what's going on in Alberta because, of course, her book, The Handmaid's Tale, was yanked from some school shelves because of the province's new rules. Now, according to the province, and you heard the clip from Premier Danielle Smith, that wasn't the intent, but some schools are doing vicious compliance and are doing this to try and prove a political point. Well, on social media on the weekend, Margaret Atwood said, since the literary classic is no longer suitable in Alberta schools, she's written a short story for 17-year-olds about two very, very good children named John and Mary. They never picked their noses or had bowel movements or zits. That's what she says at the beginning of the story. She said they paid no attention to the poor and forgiving your enemies and such. Instead, they practiced self-rapacious capitalism. She goes on to say the duo never die because who wants to dwell? And they lived happily ever after. But while they were doing that, The Handmaid's Tale came true and Premier Danielle Smith found herself with a nice blue dress, but no job. So the author getting in on, you know, what is no doubt becoming a culture war. And was it intended to do that? Some are suggesting on the text line, this is exactly what the Alberta Premier and government wanted. Because, I mean, I listened to what she said in the clip. It's clear to me that she is, number one, not calling it a book ban. And number two, talking about very specific books that, in the government's view, are not age appropriate for elementary school students. So this isn't about high schools. This is about age appropriate for elementary school students. However, I can't tell you as I stand here and talk to you today how prevalent this problem was. And this is, I think, the crux of, is this just a culture war or is this a problem that needed to be addressed? Now, some will suggest even if these books were in one school, one elementary school, that's too many. I don't know. I don't know how prevalent it was. I don't know how common it was to find these books in schools. I have seen the pictures. I have seen the illustrations that are in the books that were in a library deemed to be age appropriate for elementary school students. And regardless of sexual persuasion, regardless of sexual gender and diversity, I would not want my elementary school students seeing that at school. If you choose to make that part of your upbringing of your kids, fair enough. You're the parent. But there needs to be some sort of, there needs to be some sort of guideline in schools. Now, there's a lot of people on both sides of this topic, and I'm happy to hear your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? Is this the right way to go? Has Alberta got it right? Should Saskatchewan follow? I mean, right now, Saskatchewan is doing nothing more than monitoring the situation there. So this hasn't become a topic of conversation. Let's go to the phone line. I want to take Tyson's call in North Battleford. How are you today, Tyson?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What is your take on everything going on in Alberta with the books in schools?
Well, I mean, when you look up the dictionary definition of book ban, this is a book ban. Number one. Number two, I don't believe the specific books that Danielle Smith was showing clips from or whatever. If I'm not mistaken, that was never shown in elementary school libraries. They were never in there. They were brought forward to Smith by a group of people that had an agenda and that aligned with Smith. But those books were never in an elementary school library.
That's the question I was just asking, Tyson. I can't say for sure what schools, if any, those books were in. How prevalent was this problem? And if it's not prevalent, then have we put up a solution to something that really didn't need a solution, I guess is the question.
Well, and the last thing I will say is, and I mean, I called on impulse. I didn't do my due diligence to look back at.
That's okay. I'm chatting with you on impulse too, Tyson. That's fine.
The group that started this, is basically the same group of people that really truly believed, and some that still believe, that schools were letting students use the bathroom in litter boxes. That's the type of group of people that brought these books, and I'm using air quotes, to Danielle Smith.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you providing some perspective, your thoughts on this as well. I think it's relevant to try and determine how common or how big of a problem was this. Were these books in schools? And that's exactly what Tyson is talking about. 1-877-332-8255. Colleen from Buena Vista says, if people would just take the time to listen to Danielle Smith on this untrue book ban. The media is having a heyday stating that Alberta wants to ban certain books in schools. She had been crystal clear on this issue. This is not a ban on these books. This is basically saying that they cannot be in elementary school libraries. Now, you'll remember we had Michael Zwagstra on our program not that long ago. Michael has been on our program. He does a variety of different things. He writes for the Fraser Institute. He's a school teacher from Manitoba. He wears lots of different hats. He talked about the fact that he was supportive of where Alberta was going with this decision to essentially not allow these books in school libraries, keeping it a very narrow scope, but seeing it as a decision that was positive or going in the right direction. Some people call it common sense. Other people call it overstepping. Dylan out of Saskatoon, are the images of homosexual individuals holding hands, LOL, gasp. Well, the images I saw are a lot different than that. They are very explicit, very graphic. And I would say, this is my opinion, but absolutely inappropriate for elementary school libraries. If they were in there, yet to be determined. If they were in there. 1-877-332-8255. Texts keep coming in. Open lines continues. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Lots of text still coming in on the Alberta elementary school, call it a book ban, call it a prohibition, whatever you want to call it. AJ in Regina said, Evan, I'm pushing 50, and a lot of the books that I'm hearing are included in this Alberta ban were in my elementary school here in Regina. At the time, only kids in grades 6, 7, and 8 could sign them out. I remember reading Brave New World in grade 8, Handmaid's Tale around that time, too. I agree a 7-year-old should not be reading these books, but nothing wrong with a grade 8 student. I guess maybe we were more mature. Well, this is really, I think, what is coming down to the heart of this conversation, because Danielle Smith says it was never the intent to ban The Great Gatsby and Brave New World and Handmaid's Tale and Forever by Judy Blume. These books were not intended. There were the more graphic, explicit, sexual novels, books that were intended and were ones that were obviously not age appropriate for elementary students. Julian Battleford says, has anyone ever thought about the effect that these books could have even just being in a school on children that are abused? For those reasons alone, they should not be in an elementary school. John in Saskatoon, just because something is in a book and is written by a prominent author doesn't mean it's age appropriate and should be in an elementary school library. Not everything is a book ban or censorship. Sometimes it's just common sense. Bev, when did it become unpopular to protect our children from adult content? Their young minds aren't meant to be able to understand pornography. I think Alberta's premier is taking the right stand. Jason Regina, who I always appreciate the texts we get, Jace says, when you start banning books, you lose your freedom of speech. And when you start shielding your kids from real life problems and not letting them read important literature, they lose their ability to think freely and deal with problems in their everyday life. You can't shield them forever or else they don't develop their independence. Lots of texts on this. Lots of people weighing in on either side of this discussion. I appreciate all of your calls and your thoughts. On the other topic that we got onto, which was a bit of a, well, it was a tirade on my part about the parking situation coming out of the Lainey Wilson concert the other night. But Tom in Dundurn says the good thing is a new arena in downtown Saskatoon, there will be no more parking problems. Dot, dot, dot. There won't be any parking, says Tom. I get it. There's a lot of people saying that's why you should use city transit. That's why you shouldn't drive your vehicle out to Sasktel Center. I don't know. I have my thoughts on that. When you think about us as a rural province where most people are driving vehicles to get to where they need to, look at rider games. Yes, there are some people that will take advantages of the bus service to the rider games, but there's a lot of people that drive their vehicle, want to park their vehicle, and want to leave in a reasonable amount of time. I don't think that's too much to ask. I think that's going to remain pretty standard practice in the province. I don't know that you're getting away from that very easy. Something I think needs to be considered if new arenas are being built, that's for sure. Okay, let's get ready for our next break. Coming up just after the break, I'm happy to have a friend of mine, someone who I used to work with. We've had him on this program before, Sergeant Todd Jerome with the Regina Police Service. He is in charge of the School Resource Officer program in the city of Regina. We'll talk school zone safety, and we'll talk about safety in the schools themselves. Lots of different topics that we can explore. That conversation is coming up. If you happen to have a question Although I'm not completely opening up the phone lines, I do try and keep an eye on the text line. So if you have a school safety question pertaining to your child, your grandchild going to school, and you would like to try and get it in, 1-877-332-8255. You can always shoot us a text while we have the conversation with Sergeant Todd Jerome, RPS, coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.